Every ultimate experience Ireland has to offer is always within reach with a 182 BMW. The ultimate bowl of chowder, seasoned with Atlantic salt air, the ultimate swim spot, even the ultimate scenic shortcut that happily takes way, way longer. Experience the ultimate with a 24-hour test drive from your local BMW retailer. Because owning your new BMW is always within reach. Visit BMW182.ie.
Everybody, what's going on? It's your boy Chef Plum. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, Season 5, Episode 16. And for those of you keeping count, this past Friday's two-hour Chef-tacular episode was not counted in our Season 5 episode count. No. That was an extra episode, an extra one. And God, what a fun night that was, huh? Guests galore. I realized the audio wasn't perfect on that, and I promise the next time I do a Chef-tacular or two-hour special or something like that, we'll have that fixed where it sounds better. You know what it was? It was about the microphone. Like, for some reason, I had different headsets plugged in, and not everybody could recognize that I had... The computer didn't recognize the different microphones, so it worked best with just the one microphone, you know, built into the computer itself. So that's what I ended up using. But, I mean, you just in the show, you get the gist of it. You can tell how it went. I mean, it was fun, and I think that the next time we do something like this, we'll have better equipment to make that happen at a different level. Just more fun. You'll be able to hear everybody. They can hear things better. It was my first time doing it that way, especially broadcasting live. Now, I've done live events on this program, but that's all pre-recorded, so I record it, and then I upload it that way. But this one was live, a lot of fun. Big shout out to everybody who came. Of course, Fisher's Island Lemonade for coming in and giving us some of the lovely beverage for the evening. That was a lot of fun. And of course, Chef Michelle Ragusa's coming by, of course Chef Monique coming by, and of course big shout out to Brian Duffy, who made it in. He made it in for the last 2 minutes of the episode. We're gonna get him back on and do a full episode with him. I got a shout out to my man over the weekend. Honestly, you meet some people in this world, and whether you meet them online or real life or however it works, and Chef Dave and I had been talking, you know, on the phone and online for about a year now, and everybody goes through rough times in their lives, and Dave was going through a little bit of a hiccup in his life, so we kind of talked and bonded and became friends, and he came down and helped out with the event, and I'll tell you what, man, the guys are great. I mean, he's just awesome in the kitchen. He's a great cook, and that's not a negative thing. He's a great cook. He's great in the kitchen, and I'll take him with me anytime I can because he was so good and so, and the man was calling me, telling me when it was almost time to go, and that's what I'm talking about. Just being completely and just committed to the whole thing, understanding how it works. So Dave, big shout out to you, man. Thank you for coming. You are the man, and I appreciate it. Tonight, a little bit different. I'm gonna recap that a little bit, talk a little bit about how the rest of the night went there for the Sun Wine and Food Festival. But we're also gonna talk with Mr. Dan Fish from Full Send Productions. Let me tell you why I wanted to have Dan on. First of all, Dan is one of the, how do you, if my show Restaurant Road Trip is Voltron, then Dan's the head. That's how I look at it. Dan is the head of the Voltron Lions. But he's come on tonight. But Dan's an amazing content creator, and he's really good at what he does, and he's probably the best guy that I know at what he does. So I thought it'd be fun to talk to him from the standpoint of other chefs, from the standpoint as other business owners, about how important digital content is and what we can do as business owners and chefs to make great digital content. Because Dan's great at that, man. He has great equipment, but he's also going to talk about how you don't have to have great equipment. How just trying to get the good shots and understand what people are looking for. Because he is a master of that. He's such a master. The man's even sold a couple of television shows, which is pretty cool. So Danny will be on here in a little bit. We'll talk with him. He's a great guy. He's just a sweetheart of a guy, too, which is it's hard to even make fun of. He's just so nice about everything he does. But I want to talk about Sun Food and Wine Festival and kind of put a bow on that and wrap it up here at the end. Honestly, this event, man, what a great event. I don't even know how else to describe it, man. It was so humbling to be asked to be a part of the event. It was so amazing to just be there with so many great chefs and hanging and talking and cooking with them and just watching everyone. And I tell you what, I was walking through the hall with Chef Alex Garnaschelli. You guys might remember her from Food Network. And I was just talking about how great an event like this is. And she says, yes, it's the funnest part is to meet other chefs and just talk to other chefs. And I couldn't agree more. That's one of the things that I put really hard into it was just about how important it is to meet the other chefs and talk to other chefs. And, you know, with that being a big part of it. So, you know, it was great to talk to her about that. Chef Manit is just amazing. Michelle was great. So many great guys. A couple guys I didn't get a chance to talk to, which I was kind of upset about. Todd English was there. He did see our episode. He loved it. But I didn't get a chance to really chat with him. I wanted to. I did happen to watch the train wreck that was the Snoop and Martha brunch, which let me tell you, I'm saying train wreck, but not in a bad way. Like, it's just the way it goes. It was just, it's a demo set up with two people who, you know, maybe they weren't ready for it or they don't take it quite as serious or whatever. I mean, they did great. It was funny and entertaining. And in the end, that's all that really matters. You know, just be entertaining and funny. But, you know, it was a bit of a train wreck, but that's fine. What are you going to do? So it was a great event. It really was. I had a chance to walk by the Grand Cru tasting and had some fun there. But I really want to shout out Chef Tammy and everybody in the banquet kitchen there. My man, James, of course, Chef Craig, Lindsay, Tyler, everybody at Mohegan, just really taking care of all the chefs and all the guests. And just, I mean, what a fantastic event. I can't emphasize. Just a great, great event. It's such a great event. It reminds me a lot of when you come back from doing a television show. It's almost like you have to kind of reacclimate yourself with life. And coming back today, I mean, you know, listen, I kind of wish I had Dave here to tell you, I was in rough shape one of those days, and I wasn't in rough shape for drinking or anything, but you know, I'm getting older these days, and I've got a bum ankle, and I've got a bad knee, and I got back pain, but we all got that shit. But man, it was fired up hardcore, baby. Really hard, and you know, but you got to keep moving in it. But it was just such a fun event that I didn't really think twice about it. And you know, they just did such an amazing job over there. I mean, we had to get 600 balls, and they sent some banquet cooks over to help us, and they banged it out super quick. And Dave was on point, just staying with them. And like I said, I can't emphasize to you guys enough how amazing he did. Super proud of that guy. What a great cook, man. Honestly, amazing event. Just seeing how many chefs and, oh, you know, it was great. The feedback that we got on our dish, man. Wow. I mean, people were blown away by it. They kept coming back saying, this is definitely the greatest dish here in the building. This is the greatest dish here of the night. This is the best dish of the night. We got that 20 times maybe. I mean, listen, I don't know. I didn't taste everybody else's food. I know our dish was good. I did taste Chef Manit's dish, which was, you know, it was inside of a Frito bag. It was a delicious dish. It was a take on like a Frito Indian style nachos type scenario. So I mean, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it and it was fun. But like I said, I didn't get to taste everybody's dishes. But I think everybody did a great job. When you do an event like that, though, it's more about meeting people. It's more about connections. It's more about making, you know, just knowing people and being able to make friends, which is what we did. We made a lot of great friends. Big shout out to Tom. That's Chef Manit's corporate chef. He's great. And, you know, look forward to the future, man. I'm hoping to be asked back again next year. We'll see. If we are, I can't wait. I want to do another live episode. I mean, I had such a fun time with that. I think Dave had fun with that. Where if you listen to it, like I said, it kind of sounds a bit, the audio is a little hard. It is discernible. You can hear it. If you listen, you can hear it. But it's a little bit different. So, you know, it's worth it. It's worth a listen for sure. So big shout out to all those guys. Big shout out to everybody who was a part of the event. And of course, big shout out to all the guys that came and all the people who came. So yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah, that's all I really got to say. I'm texting our guest to stay. I see him on hold. He doesn't know that I see him, but he's on hold in the green room. So stay right there, Dan. Anyway, yeah, big shout out, man. What a great event. And I hope to be there next year. And I hope anybody who's around, I can't emphasize enough, man, come down, check this event out. There's tons of people, tons of food people. Really is just great. So thank you again for the opportunity, Mohegan Sun. Thank you again for being so supportive of what we do. And of course, being supportive of this very radio program, because, you know, they let us set up like right in front of the ballrooms where all these people were and do this show. And it was great. It was great. And having all the guests come by. So I'm a big fan of that. Anyway, you guys, listen, I'm going to get a song going, get myself a beer pour. I'm still recovering. My voice hasn't quite fully come back yet, but it's coming. It's getting there. It's getting there, but we're not quite there yet. I'm going to play a quick tune. And then when we get back, we're going to talk all about digital content. Now, listen, you're like, why are we talking about digital content? I'm going to tell you why, because honestly, in the world that we live in now, digital content is king. And I am learning that so hard right now. Digital content is such an important thing. And I thought that having a guy who I think a lot of, who I think is one of the best at doing this type of content on here to help explain it to people who maybe don't understand it. So, you know, I thought that the whole conversation is about tonight. Listen, if you haven't done so yet, please rate, review, and subscribe right there on the iTunes. It does giant things for our algorithm. Please, please, please throw a rating up there. If you got 2 seconds, write a little like the show is good as a review. Just if you can do that, it helps a lot. And Dave explained algorithms on Friday and did a great job with it, I think. Maybe he didn't do a good job. Well, he did a good job most of the time. It'll get you fucked up, right, Dave? There you go. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back with Dan Fish from Full Send Productions. Stay right there. Be right there.
Well, friends like you, who needs enemies? You ain't right, you ain't never gonna be. You're out of the car, I'm afraid you've been the incline. You shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose, I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic, you ain't no friend now. You're gonna stab my back.
social distortion, Marvel Hunt, great tune. Honestly, it takes me way back to the early 2000s, listening to this kind of music while working in the kitchen. What a great song, man. Social distortion. We should have more social distortion in our life, I think. Like, I should be listening to them every day, once or twice a day. It makes me feel better. Welcome back to Plum Love Foods Live. Got myself a beer, just popped the top on a cold one. Probably shouldn't have. Said I wasn't going to drink beer during the week, but maybe on Mondays I will. I don't know. We'll see. Tonight, all about digital content, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking digital content. What is digital content? Well, I got a great person to talk all about it with us tonight. One of my favorite people in the world, someone I've become pretty good friends with here over the past few months, and someone who I think, out of all the people I've worked with and working and doing things, is probably the best out of everybody that I've worked with. You got a guy that you work with. See, when you do these kind of things, it's important to be comfortable. And the second that I started working with Fish, it was comfortable. It just was comfortable immediately. And this guy, that's what he does. That's the environment he creates when he does things like this. So honestly, one of the best guys I know at in this business doing what he does, Full Send Productions. Can't say enough about these guys. Just really, really hardworking, good people, hustlers. Love it very much. My good friend, Mr. Dan Fish. Fish, good evening, sir. How are you? I said nice things, but it sounds like you jumped into like you went underwater and tried to talk to me.
How you doing, man?
All right, there we go. Now I can hear you. We're good, man. Sitting here still recovering from the Wine and Food Fest over at Mohegan Sun. You came by and we're hanging out one of the nights on, which was a lot of fun. We have made a lot of friends that night. And how was that event for you? Was it good times?
I had a rough Sunday and a rough Monday, man. It was fun, though.
Yeah, it was a great event, man. It really was.
Best food.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, whose was? You can say that again.
I said yours was. Yours was the best food that I had there. We tried everything.
Well, it's funny because we've been working together now for a while on Restaurant Road Trip, and you still have yet to have anything that I actually, like my own food that I made, that I designed and created it. I guess that was the first time, right?
It was the first time. That's really weird, isn't it? It's been like a long time now.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. It's kind of crazy. Well, I'm glad you were there. I'm glad you guys had a great time. I mean, it was fun. You caught me I was recuperating on that day for sure, but it was a great time, and the event went off without a hitch, and that's always great to see. But I kind of feel like that's what happens sometimes with our shoots, man. Occasionally we just get them and they just go off without a hitch. But I kind of give that credit to you because you keep it so comfortable, you keep it so easy. Is that like when it comes to being someone like you who is a filmmaker, who is like a content creator doing what you do, how important is that to have the person you're shooting be very comfortable?
You know, I like to have fun anytime I do something, you know, so what's the point of being stressed? And it all comes down to like pre-production. And that's why you and I have so much fun on our feet. And, you know, the rest of our team comes down there is because we walk in there knowing what we're about to do. We know what we're going to get. And you come in and you crush it. And it's just a fun time.
Yeah, it is fun. It is fun, man. I enjoy it. I think the reason that, I mean, I appreciate you saying I come in and crush it. But I think for me, it's just about being comfortable and understanding what we're doing. Now, granted, we've been doing this for a while now. We're, what, 20-some episodes in at this point?
Yeah, we're something like that. Wow.
But, yeah, I agree. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it just, it flows. It's easy. I think when you have that kind of chemistry with somebody, it makes life a lot easier when it comes to doing content. But you're the kind of guy who, when you shoot, I think that's an environment you create. Do you do it purpose? Is it something you actually think about, or is it just, listen, we're having a good time, let's kill it?
Yeah, you know, I just hate being stressed. It all comes back to that. And it's all about, it's like, why... audio is rough. You want me to call it in?
It's a little bit rough. It's a little bit tough to follow you here. So maybe if you try calling in on the phone instead of using the computer or whatever, it might be easier. Sorry, guys. It's technical stuff, and I want everybody wants to hear it. But I realize this audio is probably a little hard to hear. We're testing something. If you guys haven't figured it out yet, there's a direct connect thing here, but don't worry about that. Can you try calling in?
Yeah.
You can try it right now, and I'll see you on there. But, you know,
That's the fun part about doing this sort of stuff is that I think when you do like digital content, there's no boundaries. There's no person to tell you what you can and can't do or decide how you're going to do something. It's all about the content itself. And I think that's important. I think it's really, really important that when you have that, because if you have someone who's there to, you know, kind of preach to you how you have to make your content, what you have to do with it, it's much different, man. It's not the same. And having that freedom is everything.
All right, brother, you hear me?
Hey, there we go. That's so much better.
Oh, dude, this is so much better. I can even hear better.
All right. There we go. So I was just saying, man, you know, we left our own druthers here and we don't have someone standing over us and telling us what to do. It's kind of half the fun of what we do when we get to make content like this, because, you know, we don't really answer anybody. And I think that's half the fun when making content itself, period. If you don't have to answer to somebody about it, you really can have creative freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. We have sometimes, I think, too much creative freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what makes it fun, right?
I think so. I think it's what makes it different, though. But I see a lot of the creative stuff that you get in some of your other stuff besides just Restaurant Road Trip, man, just the way you get these shots, the way you make it look. And I mean, how do you do it, I guess, is the question. I'm trying to like figure out a way to not just ask how do you do it, but how do you do that? How do you make it look so amazing?
You know, I feel like a lot of it is from, honestly, it's from YouTube. You know, like when I started doing this, you know, I didn't do this in college. I didn't do this in high school or anything. I made random videos, but afterwards I would, you know, watch tutorials on YouTube and I would follow people that, you know, I loved their style. And it was actually Devin Supertramp. He's a big YouTuber out there and makes some of the most badass videos ever, people doing crazy things. And he started on the Steadicam, and that got me into, you know, I personally like steady shots, stabilized shots. That's just my style. And it's like, you know, I followed his style. And then you pick up other people's styles by watching movies, by watching TV shows. Every time you watch something on the screen, you're learning. And it's just always constantly adjusting. I think it's fun, man. I think it's crazy because it's always something new.
But never an urge to be in front of the camera, really, huh? More just kind of behind it.
Oh, dude, I am ugly, man. Come on now.
So how'd you get into it, though? Because you said you weren't doing it in college. You weren't doing it in high school. It wasn't something that you thought would be kind of in your wheelhouse. But, you know, you kind of get into doing it. And you haven't really been doing it that long. What, like 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say like 5 years, something like that. I used to have a fun time in college. You know, we had a lot of parties and we'd make videos of those parties. And and I sent one of the videos, this was way early on, I sent one of those videos into a Craigslist ad for a production company job, just to sort of, you know, I had no idea what I wanted to do after college. And I sent it in and these guys brought me in to Mohegan Sun. It was a production company out of New York, and they brought me to Mohegan Sun. Honestly, dude, my first job was holding a light for a Boys to Men interview. It was insane.
That's all right, though.
It was crazy.
Like, somewhere. It's almost like you were a PA, a production assistant, huh?
Yeah. No, I was a PA. It was crazy. That and I worked with that company for two odd years. And, you know, it's all about who you work with, because they taught me everything. I met tons of people and it got me into this whole industry. And made it fun, you know?
But it's become like, you're going from something like that to, I mean, this is your job now. This is what you do full time. You don't have another job. This is it.
Yeah, this is it. This is why I'm always stressed.
So when you see people, I guess, when you watch a video, right? So let's say you watch a YouTube video, or you're watching something on Facebook or social media. What's the first thing that you look for when you're like, okay, I'll be able to tell in the first 5 seconds if this video is going to be, if it's good and well done, or if it's not? Like, what's the first thing you see?
I feel like visually, like, you can tell, you know, like just the way it actually looks, like colors or I like shallow depth of field in a lot of my shots. So I don't know. I look for cinematic symmetry. It's hard to say one thing I look for, honestly, because it's all like, it's all part of one thing in my head, but it's just, you can tell quality when you see it, you know?
Yeah. But in order to make, so, you know, everybody, you kind of have to have, we live in a weird world now, man, you know, and it's like, for a long time, you had to have a website, then you had to have a MySpace page, and then you had to have a blog, and then you had to have a YouTube channel, but we didn't really do anything with our YouTube channel. Some people did, of course, but then it became, okay, now I have to have a Twitter and you know, that sort of thing. Like, what do you think, what's made this movement now to where you have to have video content no matter what you're doing? What's made that happen? Is it our short attention span?
Dude, that's so true. Wow, our short attention span. That's why everything is so short on Facebook now. And it's like, people want things instantly, you know, and they want to, now with all the technology out there, I can show you, the viewer, something that you may not have ever seen before, you know, and that's interesting. Right. And that's what people want to see.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting because, I mean, in the short amount of time, the whole business has changed. I mean, you know, I've worked in doing TV stuff, and that almost seems to kind of be, you know, teetering off a little bit and heading towards the wayside to go the digital route with all the, you know, the OTA or boxes or whatever, over the OTT boxes and things like that. But I think what we're seeing is the rise of content creators such as yourself kind of starting to have an opportunity that maybe they wouldn't have gotten 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is because, you know, things are way more affordable now.
Yeah.
Like all these cameras out there, these Steadicams, like all this stuff used to cost tens of thousands of dollars, and now you can have a rig that, you know, costs $1,000 or $2,000, and you could put out your content instantly.
And be cinematic, and have beautiful content.
Viewers. Yeah, cinematic, beautiful content.
I guess so. I mean, I got an actor friend of mine. He, you know, he works in background, does commercials. Harry Thomas, great dude. You know, even guys like him are interested in looking into like getting content out there and trying to do different things with it, whether it's even on Facebook and stuff like that. But honestly, man, you look at this world we live in now. We all walk around with these great cameras in our pockets and stuff. It's almost getting to where you can make content now with your iPhone. What was the first thing you used when you were making videos?
Well, wow, that's funny you guys, man. I was talking about this the other day. So I had my bar mitzvah when I was 13, and I was given a bunch of Best Buy gift cards, and I used my Best Buy gift cards to get one of those like mini hand cams or handy cams that recorded on these tiny DV tapes. Now we would make stupid home videos, the stupidest.
You edit that shit on.
Oh, I don't even know. I had one of those like Macs that looked like an Apple, the Macintosh. Jeez.
Wow.
I think we had like iMovie or something.
But you would take those little digital video. I don't even know what kind of tapes they're. I can see one in my head. But how did you upload? Did you have to get like a certain like attachment for the computer to upload it, or?
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember honestly. I don't know, that's so long ago, man. But I remember the funniest video was when I had a pogo stick and my friend was filming me on top of a half pipe, and I tried to pogo stick off the top of a half pipe, and I slipped out and face planted on my sidewalk. Oh, dude, it was so funny. Good times.
So you were making you made Jackass 4 is what you were making.
Yeah, but like much worse.
But much worse. Wow. Do you still have that video? Because I kind of want to see it.
I want to see that video. I got to find that. That's some gold right there, man.
So what do you think about these guys, though, who, you know, everybody wants to have content these days. I mean, we want to have it. And, you know, not everybody can afford to spend $1,000 to get some equipment, which I know in the scheme of things, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but maybe you're just a line cook, or you got a restaurant. You're trying to just make some stuff to put on your Instagram page, or maybe to talk about like, hey, look at our specials for the night, or hey, look at this dish. You know, what do you think are some key things to do when doing that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you've got social media out there, is what spreads the word so quickly. And if you like, one of the chefs that we were with the other day, he was showing us how he at Kawani in Westport, he was showing us all his pictures that he takes of the food. You know, he cooks food, he takes pictures on his cell phone, pictures on his camera, whatever he's got, he posts it, then everyone gets to see it instantly. And that makes people hungry, and that makes you want to go get your food there, you know? It's just having, being able to do it instantly, I think, is the best part for people in that situation. If you're saying, you know, people who don't have the money to go, you know, get professionals in there to do it.
But what do you think is important when it comes to that? Is it the lighting? Is it the angle? Is it, you know, just getting the food in the shot? Like, what's some of the things that you would tell somebody, like the piece of advice, hey, when you're doing this to post or making this video, you know, don't have a window behind you. Like, what are some of the things you think are important that people probably don't think about?
Oh yeah, man, lighting is the most important thing. Actually, you know, lighting and audio. But if we start with lighting, the thing with, like, you know, what we do with our show, it's all natural light, except for a couple of things, but mainly we use all natural light. So when let's say I'm going to shoot an interview set up with you and a restaurant owner, whoever we're talking to, I'm going to put you in front of a window so I can use that window as my key light to hit you and light your face. Because if I don't do that, and let's say I have the window behind you and I'm shooting into it, it's going to be silhouetted or the whole sky is going to be blown out. So it's, a lot of it is knowing how to control the light that you're working with in that environment. That's one of the most important things.
Do you think it helps to bring a light with you? Does it help to, like, have some sort of lighting with you, or, like, you know, even just something small as shining a flashlight on it or angling it off a wall or something like that?
Yeah. No, you know, if you want to manipulate light, which most people do, then you got to have a light kit with you. And, you know, there's millions of different options out there for millions of different budgets that you're working with. But to get a specific look, you need to know how to control light and to manipulate light by using more than just natural light. You need to have that knowledge, you know. So, I started with a crappy little camera, and I didn't have any lights. So all I learned was, you know, how to naturally light things. And so that helped me a lot. And that's why I like that style. This natural look, it's just soft.
Yeah, I guess so. That's interesting. I'm trying to think of how many times we've actually used light, and it hasn't been that much. I mean, occasionally we do if it's dark out there, but not really. You do like using natural stuff.
Yeah, like, honestly, there's this photographer who I love. He's out of Connecticut, actually, Danny Diamond. Probably the best portrait photographer I've ever seen.
She was great. She used to work at a club, and she would do amazing things with, like, $10 and nickels, but it was a different Danny Diamond then.
Different Danny Diamond. This is a guy, actually.
Oh, well. I wasn't sure if mine was either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's a good point. Well said, sir. No, but he's got the coolest style. It's mostly all natural light. And honestly, I watched all his YouTube videos and his tutorials. That taught me a ton of stuff. YouTube University, right?
Oh, dude, it's almost like the Matrix now, as I was describing it the other day. It's, if you remember the Matrix, when Keanu Reeves, arguably America's best actor, is sitting there, and all of a sudden he opens his eyes and he goes, "I know Kung Fu," because they uploaded it to him. I mean, that's what I think YouTube is. I mean, you can go on YouTube and figure out how to do anything.
You really can. It's like, if you ever have a question, just go to the internet. That sometimes backfires, but a lot of the times you get some cool shit.
Well, it's actually right what we're talking about, though. If you think about it, it's literally directly into what we're talking about, because it used to be go to the internet and Google it. Now it's, we all go to YouTube it, and we're going to watch a video on it to figure out how to do it. It's much easier than trying to read.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can relate this back to food again. Those videos on Facebook now, the tasty videos, everyone watches.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you a recipe while you're watching them cook it. You know, I would rather see the food, like, in that style than go read a recipe on a page, you know? Like, that's going to make me want
it. For sure. For sure. I mean, even, like, you know, in the days of food bloggers and people like that, I think we're just starting to see those kind of end, and it's kind of being replaced by people who do it, you know, through video content. And, you know, even guys now, like, you know, the guy here in Connecticut, Dame Drops, where he's filming his own stuff now, you know, he has a good camera, but he's filming everything on his own. And, you know, that's someone who's been on, you know, Rachel Ray and doing it. But even to that level, he's still making his own content because he has a good camera. He's got good equipment, and he can do it himself, which is interesting because it shows that I don't know. I don't think everybody can do it, but anybody can try. How's that?
Exactly. No, that's right. And you know, it's not all about having the best equipment. You can still make great videos, you can take great photos with, you know, average equipment. You don't have to have tens of thousands of dollars of equipment.
Yeah. I mean, so talk about some of that for a second, man. So like, what do you think is a good, like the first two pieces of equipment if you're going to start making content in your kitchen or you know, doing video, what do you think are the two best pieces of equipment you could buy on a budget? Like, what do you think? I'm not endorsing anything, but you know, what do you think it would be? Would you say it's like a microphone is important, or is a, you know, what's important?
Yeah. I mean, there's essentials that you need to make a video. And you obviously you need the camera, you need the lens, you need a microphone for recording audio, and lighting. We talked about earlier, you can use natural light. So if you're filming it yourself, handheld cooking, I don't know how the hell you do that. It sounds hard, other than having a tripod and, you know, you get a static shot, something shooting yourself. But that'd really be the only way I could imagine it. Or you put a GoPro on your head. There's always that, right?
I thought about that, actually. I thought about being the first guy with a GoPro actually on his hand. So I have a static shot of like a tripod and a GoPro on my hand that I could cut to.
It would look cool. You know, they got like those GoPro wrist mounts. You seen those?
Yeah.
Imagine. I'm sorry, random thought right now. I just thought it'd be a cool shot of putting a GoPro on your wrist while you're chopping food. Next episode.
It'd be a lot of up and down. Yeah. It'd just be a lot of up and down. I guess you took it off the knife hand, put it on my other hand, it would look cool. Damn.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be very dizzying. It's a bad idea. You know, sometimes you got winners, sometimes you got losers.
So you think a microphone sort. Now, when you say microphone, a microphone that you want to put to your camera, or as I know, sometimes we record audio separately and then attach that audio. Like, explain how that works to people, because I don't think everyone understands how that works.
Yeah, so for our show, for Restaurant Road Trip, we shoot a single camera setup, which can only record one channel of audio. So the way, and we, when we do interviews, obviously you need two channels of audio because we put lav mics on each person. So we actually, we have an external audio recorder that we have one of the other lav mics go into, and we have our sound guy or one of our producers run that during, you know, that segment. But a lav mic is what, you know, you have that, that little one you got. I think they're great for people cooking, doing cooking videos, you know, you just clip it on you, wirelessly transmits to the camera. They work great, man.
So would you prefer to have that going right to the camera, or would you take that audio right to like a recorder?
Me? It depends on your deliverables and like your workflow and all that in post. Because if you go into an audio recorder, obviously you have so many more ways to manipulate the recording and make it sound better. If you go just into the camera, typically, depending on the camera, but typically you're stuck with, you can just change the record volume. You can't change any of the other settings of audio. So you'll get better quality usually if you go into an external recorder. It's just usually you need a second person to run it. So if you're on a tight budget or don't want to work with that, then you don't have to do that. And it's all personal preference as well. Like, that always comes into play.
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of your style and how you like to do things, man. And I guess that's probably a big part of it, you know? So if you're in the kitchen, and let's say you got a guy, I keep wanting to push back this because so many people that have restaurants and whatnot these days, they're all trying, I mean, they all want content, you know, but not everybody can afford to bring somebody in to shoot it or have it professionally done. So they're trying to do things on their own. Just to get it out there. And I think we're in a world now where, you know, maybe the quality has gone down because it doesn't matter as much because there's so much. I mean, I shouldn't think it doesn't matter, but it's more due to the volume of stuff that's out there. But I mean, how important do you think that is on someone who's doing a 30-second video to say, hey, check this dish out? Like, is that quality super important to them? I mean, in general?
I think if you're going to do a video like that, just think about it as a whole. What do you want to get across in your video? If, let's say we're shooting a dish, like, let's say it's an ice cream dish and you want to make like an insane sundae and you're going to take the video on your cell phone. All you want to see as a viewer is that ice cream be made, toppings, all that beautifulness, sexy shots of food. So just focus on that. It, as long as the content itself is interesting, people will watch it.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think if you're actually going to spend some time and you're going to edit it, I mean, hell, all computers come with some sort of editing program now, or you can get one for free. But, you know, I think you can learn a lot from just doing that first. Start working on some editing, and you really start to get a better understanding of how things work and how the shot should look. And, you know, I think it's fun to me. I like it. It's probably the bane of your existence, but.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. I look at your face so much every week because of editing the show. Like, I was looking at hours earlier today.
Listen, I apologize for that. God. I'm trying to. I'm gonna back to the gym working out and make it look better for you. Listen, it could be better. We should be having Micah and Ryan, our producers. Shout out to those guys. Have them in here in the video more because they're way better looking guys than I am.
Nah, dude, you're a handsome fella.
Damn right, Global Icon, National Treasure.
Golden Icon. I mean, you're right. No Ryan Global Icon.
Wait, who?
I said, you're no Ryan Christopher, and you don't got the hair of Michael Bailey.
I've never heard of either one of those guys. I don't know who those guys are. I mean, that's a terrible name. Who would give their kid two first names? That's awful.
I know, and with a K.
Yeah, Ryan Christopher. It's just not even, it doesn't make sense. Why would anybody do that? And
hold on, what's your first name? How do you spell it?
Yeah. And then, honestly, anyone named Micah, like, that's probably the second worst thing you call a man. Micah, like, honestly.
What's the first?
Well, it's 2018, so we can't make homosexual jokes anymore. So, anyway.
Good point.
I'm just kidding. We love those guys. They're a big help for us. But how big is it to have someone like that, to have producers on a set with you, to have someone to kind of be another pair of hands to kind of control the show? Is it that big of a deal? Is it that helpful for you as a creator?
Yeah, you know, it's hard if you do a shoot or project and you have to wear many hats. Like, if you're wearing five different hats, you're doing everything, man, and you're spread thin. You're not able to focus on one thing specifically and do your best at one thing. You're doing the best you can at five different things, which, you know, quality is probably less than that. So when you have producers there, like Ryan and Micah for us, and we have our production assistants come down, you got other people to help you. And when you surround yourself with a good team and they bring certain qualities that you may not bring to the table, then you get a better product. And it's also, coming back to the way beginning, it's so much less stressful because you don't have to worry about everything because you can trust your guys, you trust your girls you're with, and they take care of what they got to take care of.
Yeah, I guess so. What's the biggest production team you ever worked on? Like, how big of a team?
Well, when I was PAing back in the early days, which was not even that long ago, I worked on The Bachelorette. Oh, that was awful.
Oh, you did?
It was like, yeah. Oh, dude, I was a PA on The Bachelorette. I hated being a PA, by the way. I think I did it like a couple.
Wait a minute. Time out. How come we never talked about this? Are you kidding me?
Because it sucked. It sucked.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's like my wife's favorite show, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Oh, it's so awful. It's so fake. It's so fake. And I had to sit there and watch it.
That's awful. So fake. That's awesome. So there's a show on Hulu it's a reality show or whatever. It's not a reality show. It's a fake show. And I'm trying to find a name of it. I got to find it right now so I can tell it to you. You got to watch it. It's basically like a behind the scenes, like drama / comedy show. That's about that sort of shit. Like, it's about that, like someone working on one of those type shows, like The Bachelor, like The Bachelorette.
Oh.
It just talks all about how fake stuff is and how much they're just trying to get people drunk. And like the first season, this one girl dies and they're like, oh, fuck it. Whatever, it's the TV.
Oh my God!
Now
that's probably what
it
was.
You didn't kill anybody on The Bachelorette, did you?
Would say it again.
You didn't kill anybody on The Bachelorette, did you?
I hate that was what I had to ask you to say again because I didn't hear it right. That's awkward. No, I did not kill anybody on The Bachelorette. Honestly, I worked on that show for one day and then quit because it was so bad.
Oh man, you only did it for one day?
One day, yeah. Yeah, no, I hated it. I hated it. Oh, it was awful.
All right. So the show is called Unreal. You got to check it out. It's called Unreal. It's a great show. It's so bad. It's awesome. It's all about this girl who was like an associate producer, and then like she becomes the executive producer. It's awesome.
All right. Hey, we're working on those clutch words, right?
Oh, yeah. Crutch words, that's right. Yeah.
Crutch words, that's what it is. What did I say? Clutch words, right?
That's right. And you know, here's the thing, too, is that the best part about that show is that it has my soon-to-be ex-wife, Constance Zimmer, on, who I've been obsessed with for years. She's so hot, too.
All right. Unreal. I'll have to check it out. Shout out
to
Hulu.
Unreal. Shout out to Hulu. Which is why if Hulu is putting shows like that out, for God's sake, let's do Restaurant Road Trip. Come on, Hulu. What are we doing? What are we waiting on here?
Dude, we want them all, man. We got to get Chef Plum on all across the country.
There you go. Well, listen, so what do you think about that, man, as we segue kind of out of this? I can't believe you worked on The Bachelorette. Can you tell us a quick story? Like, tell us one of the fakest things. Don't give any names, but one of the fakest things that you watched happen.
Oh, what was it? I'm trying to remember. It was so bad, but I remember it this because I shot. I live in Connecticut, so this was at Mohegan Sun, and that's where the episode that they were filming was. And I just remember one scene. They were in this bar up at Vista, and I overheard the producer literally tell one of the contestants or whatever you call them exactly what to say. And then I watched him go do exactly what the producer said, and it was just so fake and staged and. Like, what the hell? People watch this?
Dude. So one of the things I'm gonna probably put my foot in my mouth here, but I don't give a fuck. I've said it in the past. So ABC is notorious for doing that on their shows. Any of their reality type shows, like their national reality shows. I was on The Taste on ABC, and they send us all shopping in Whole Foods. They put a microphone on me and told me to fuck with people. And you know, it's supposed to be a fake, you know, completely like surprise show. But you know, for those who don't know, the premise of the show is that we'd make a dish, only one tasting of it on a spoon. The judges would taste it and then make their decision purely on the taste if they wanted to have that person on their team or not. Pretty good concept. But the first season they kept fucking it up, man. Like you'd be standing behind the wall that opens up and shows. Like you'd be standing behind and you'd hear. Well, where's he been? Where's he worked at? You hear him talking to producers in the ear. Well, where's he been? First of all, how do you know it's a he if you don't know anything about it?
Yeah.
Like they're telling him in their ear what to do. And
that's weird.
So for instance, my dish, they tasted my dish and they all, like when they told me, they didn't like to select me at all, but they were all like, we don't know why. Like, who was it? Bourdain was like, I should have pressed the button and taken this. This is amazing. I should have just done it. My heart was leaning towards that, but for some reason I hit the other button, and it's just pretty funny, man. Well, they did it because, you know, that's what the producer told them to do.
Yeah, that's just how it is, though. But that's like, I don't know, people. That's what a lot of the shows are like now. You know, they tell people what to say. It's like they're not real.
No, not at all. That's why Unreal is a great show. You got to watch it. You get such a kick out of it. It's so good to watch. I mean, it's terrible, but it's a good show to watch.
It's a terrible good show. My favorite.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. So what's next for you, man? You sold a couple of TV shows, and which is great, very exciting. I mean, it's like this little production company you started is kind of starting to make a little waves here. I mean, do you know how long it takes for someone? I mean, you've been doing this for 5 years now, and not all of that's been with your own company. You know how long it takes to sell a television show, and you've done it.
Yeah, I mean, it also comes back to who you work with. You know, we work with a lot of great people who have great connections, and it's all about networking. So if you know, it's who you know, and that's how it is. And so surround yourself with good people, and that's all that I did. I feel like, you know, I work with people who are always my friends. I never want to work with someone who isn't my friend. That's just what my thing I always try to do. You know, that's why we have so much fun, man. It's because we're buddies.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that it's dangerous because it can bite you in the ass, too. But, you know, I guess you take the good, you take the bad, right?
Yeah, exactly. It can bite you in the ass, but it's still fun.
What do you see as a guy who, you know, works in the business, who does this sort of stuff, man? Food content. We know the world's changing. We've talked about that a lot this past since the show's come back here in January. The world of, you know, food on television is changing, but I don't think, well, I'm not going to feed the witness here, but, you know, as far as content based on food, what do you think is happening with that? Where do you see that going in the next 18 months? Is it up? Is it down? Is it changing? What do you think?
Content about food?
Yeah.
I think it's always going to be there. I think it's always going to be quick little videos and stuff like that. Honestly, I don't have TV. I can't watch too many TV shows.
You're seeing that a lot with people. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, you know, not everybody has TV anymore. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of people who are going to cut the cable, but they may still have their over-the-air antennas that gets you, you know, your local stuff. You'll always have that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's changing, man. I think it's totally changing. I think it's going to be a world where, I think we're moving into a world where the half hour television program is going to be gone.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, people still love that. You can't argue that. I still love it. You know, my Game of Thrones fix. I love that. Love that shit, man. It's fucking insane. But people also love, if it's an ad that they're talking about, people also want to watch it really quickly, you know, and get it over with. They don't have what we said before. They got short attention spans.
Yeah. I think if it's much easier to deliver content now that we all carry a 4.5 to 7 inch screen in our pockets everywhere we go, you know?
Yeah, that too. Everyone's Snapchatting themselves, you know, every second of their life. They're always doing something, man.
We really are living in the Matrix, man. It's fucking crazy when you start really thinking about it. It's really weird.
You may think it's crazy, but on the other hand, I think it's exciting because you never know what's going to come next.
Well, you know, it's funny, man. I had a client recently over the holidays ask me, when she was hiring me to do her Christmas party, asked me what my social media following was. Like, that's crazy talk. What are you talking about? Who cares? Like, here's my reviews. Here's what I do. But that's what people care about these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty wild. That's a good point. But that comes back to social media playing a big part in businesses, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why you got to have good content.
I got to emphasize enough, man. You got to go on Vimeo and type in Full Send Productions and check out some of the stuff that Dan's done, man. It is some, I mean, the guy looks like he's like Scorsese in the way he shoots. It's awesome. Like, it's a whole different world. I mean, you'll watch a video about Dan's dog and you're like, what happens next? And the video ends. You're like, God damn it. I mean, it's awesome, man. I mean, the things you do with slow-mo, you've got your own kind of style with that, which is great.
Thanks, man.
definitely check it out.
See the amount of videos ahead, I have of my dog are ridiculous.
That cracks me up, man. But listen, I got a new track I want to play for you by your favorite hip hop artist. He just put out a new album. I don't know if you knew that. RK to Icon.
All right, send it.
Yeah. I got a new track for you. He just put out, man. I was gonna play it for you if you got 2 seconds. You want to hear it?
Hell yeah.
This is a joke, by the way, if you hadn't already figured that out.
No, sorry, I didn't know that.
So here you go. Here you go. Check out, this is the new track I was telling you about. Check this out. This is great. I want you to hear it.
Yeah. Mise en place, motherfuckers. It's your boy, Chef Plum, in the mix. Rap chat. Let's go. Yeah, we making duck fondue. We cooking in the kitchen, that is what we do. We take a spatula and put it up in your head. Smack your bitch upside the head. Pass the carrot, cut that shit up. We gon' dice it, slice it, and eat that shit up. Vegetti, whatever you need, I got it. They call me Chef Plum, got blue hair and a sexy body. That's what all the ladies say. I'ma keep rapping till I say, hey, motherfucker, give me my plate. I'm ready to eat and have that steak. Woo! Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's your boy, Chef Plum.
Now, dude. I'm not going to reveal. We can't reveal who that is. I've been asked not to. But it's the Icon, oh, RK. Okay. That's your man, right?
That's the funniest shit I've heard. Oh, my God.
You should see my face when I got it. I was like, we need to find you, like, some, it's time to have kids or something. I don't know. Like, there needs to be something that takes up some more time in your life.
Oh my, yeah, man. Holy shit.
It's the shit, though, isn't it? It's so fucking stupid.
Hold on. Yeah. Mise en place, motherfuckers. Yeah. It's your boy, Chef Plum, in the mix. Rap check. Let's
look,
go.
I want to point out.
Yeah,
look.
We making duck fondue. We cook.
Duck fondue is not even a thing. It's not even a thing. Like, what are you talking about?
That sounds just.
It sounds terrible,
by the way.
It sounds terrible. Yeah.
And then what the hell is he eating then? He's eating duck fondue.
We go slice it and dice it and eat that shit up. I mean, it's almost good. That's the scary part.
I think it's just like that TV show, man. It's so bad that it's good.
yes, absolutely. Well, dude, we're working big things, man. We got some big angles we're working. It doesn't happen overnight, but I love working with you. We have a great time. We're making great content, and most of that, I said earlier before you got on here, I said, as a team, if we're all forming like Voltron, then you're definitely the head, that's for sure. So I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you do. And I look forward to see what happens, man, for sure, because it's going to be fun.
Thanks, man. Love working with you. You stud.
I kind of thought you were going to propose to me there for a second. It felt weird, but that's okay.
If there was video, yeah, I'm on one knee right now, man.
There you go. Hey, look, give everybody one last tip, man, about making content on their own, low budget, just trying to make something happen. Give them one good nugget they can take with them that they can use in their restaurants or in their kitchens.
Yeah, it's all just go and make it. That's really what it is. Don't be scared to not make something and put it out in front of people. You know, just make it. Whatever you make, be proud of, and then learn from it and keep putting more content out every day. That's how you get better.
That's good-ass advice right there. That is good-ass advice. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, and you know, it's better to learn from it afterwards than never do it at all and wonder if what would happen. That's good advice, man.
Thanks, man.
There it is. All right, everybody, you can check out Dan's stuff at fullsendproductions.com, right? And, of course, on social media, at Daniel, at Joseph Fish, at Instagram. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's my Instagram. It's all personal, fun travel stuff. If you want to see pictures around the world and Chef Plum's face.
Ew, that just made me cringe a little bit. I hope not. Anyway, make sure you check that out. If you're looking for content done here anywhere around the world, Dan travels. He'll go anywhere you want, man. He'll make you some content. It'll be awesome. It'll be epic. Epic content. That's epic. What we're talking about here.
That's right.
Epic
That's right.
content. There you go. Dan, I appreciate your time tonight, man. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right, brother. Have a good one. Later, everybody.
There he goes. That's it. That's Dan Fish right there, you guys. The man, the myth, the legend from Full Sand Productions. He's awesome. Does a great job for us. And I'm very, very lucky to have someone that cool to work with. So big shout out to Dan. Thanks for coming on. And listen, honestly, you guys who check his stuff out, check his stuff out. Be inspired by it when you see it. You may pick a few things up. And like you said, you know, if you're thinking about making a video, putting it out there, just do it. Don't be scared to. Just do it. You're not going to get any better if you don't. So he's absolutely right about that, for sure. So make the content. That's all you can do. Make the content. Big shout out to Dan Fish. And, of course, to Ryan and Micah, the kid I yelled to shrimp his ass on down the street or whatever, and Harry Thomas. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chef Plum. Thanks for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. See you guys next Monday. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.